First, I invite Brahma Kumari sister to honor our speaker, Dr. Mohit Gupta. And Dr. Mohit Gupta from Delhi, he did his post graduation and super special in cardiology from Maulana Azad Medical College and G.B. Pant Hospital, Loknayak Hospital Associated. And Dr. Gupta has distinct achievement of getting more than 18 gold medal and 5 silver medal in his medical career. He was honored by a hospital for outstanding services to the patient for the year 2005. In October 2006, he has been awarded Young Scientist of the Year by Association of Physicians of India. He was recently awarded with prestigious Agra Ratna Award by Honorable Chief Minister of Delhi for distinguished medical and social services to the society. He has more than 30 publications in Journal of National and International Repute and more than 130 abstract. He is a strong advocate of the spirituality. Dr. Gupta has been associated with Brahma Kumari's World Spiritual University from his childhood and practices Raja Yoga meditation daily. He is not singly associated, his whole family, mother, father, sister, is also present here, associated with Brahma Kumari's University. And most important, he believes that practicing spirituality with correct and scientific understanding is key to leading a balanced life. He has given more than 500 lectures and conducted symposiums all over the world, including USA, UK, Europe, university like Oxford and Cambridge University. And also he was invited by the New Zealand Embassy to speak on Interfaith Dialogue for World Peace, where ambassadors of more than 8 countries were participating, where Dr. Gupta participated and represented Brahma Kumari's University. He also given the lectures in different companies like Siemens, Tata Consultancy, IMT, MDT, Amul Group, different companies, and more than 30 IMAs and physician forum of different cities have invited him to speak on various topics addressing practical life. What you now listen here, it is not just lecture, his experience of the life. How the spirituality inculcated on medical profession and what are the evidences of the spirituality in medical profession, he will speak through his experience. So I hope you will enjoy this session and also uses the spirituality in your medical profession. I invite Dr.
Very good
Gupta.
Morning to all of you. I extend a hearty welcome to you on this beautiful place. And I personally believe that we have such a beautiful topic, such a wonderful audience, such a wonderful and pleasant weather, and such a serene auditorium, then magic happens. And what we'll be seeing in next 1 hour is a wonderful journey that we all will travel together. Hum sab log sab saath mein ek yatra par chalenge, ek unique journey, in which we'll try to re-explore our lives. Where is it that we have gone wrong? What is it that we have bargained our life for? What is the purpose of our existence here? And how do we actually practice this spirituality on the basis of science? Because when we talk about rejuvenating life, I personally believe that rejuvenating life is all about living the life at the first, energizing our own self and every person, every soul whom we are meeting and our path, being enthusiastic. Whatever we are doing, irrespective of whatever that work is, we have to be full of enthusiasm. We have to enjoy each and every moment. Because happiness is not a destination, it's found along the journey of our life. It's all about empowering our own self and it's about embracing each and every human being we meet in our path. But there is something somewhere that has gone wrong. And that is why today our world is suffering. Each one of us is filled with so much tension, so much stress, that ultimately we find solace, we are in desperate search of peace and we go and attend conferences or different types of satsangs, but we are not able to get that permanent address or permanent way to peace. And I often wonder that time is going by, but are we ready to change our lives? What is it that is driving our life today? We are getting more and more materialistic day by day. Right from the morning till the evening, each one of us is running 365 days a week. And we are just doing or bargaining our life for money, for matter, for pride, for power. And we are getting far and far away from what we actually wanted in our life. Our life is today governed by our ego or anger. I still remember a wonderful story of two monks who were crossing a river. And when they were crossing a river, they saw a young girl, you know, she was striving to cross the river. And one monk, he was feeling very pious, and he just lifted that girl and helped that girl to cross the river. The other saint got very angry. His ego got scratched. He stopped talking to that monk. Usne do din usse baat karna chhod diya. Teen din nikle, he stopped talking to that person. Not only that, he was not able to concentrate on his religious scriptures and in his meditation. On the fifth day, he was very angry. He got up and he said, "Tumne bahut galat kaam kiya. You have done something which is absolutely wrong." The other saint who had helped that little girl, he said, "What have I done wrong?" He said, "5 days back, you had lifted that girl on the top of your head and helped that person to go across the river. In our scriptures, in our religion, this is not allowed." The other saint smiled and said, "My dear friend, I had lifted that girl only for a few seconds. You are lifting that girl for last 5 days on your head." And this is what happens in our life. That we keep on holding to our situations, we keep on holding to our anger, we keep on holding to our ego, we feel scratched, we feel irritated, and that is why our life is being governed by so many paradoxes today. Today, we have everything, we have more and more experts, but the problems are surmounting much more than the expertise that we are gaining today. We have more and more medicines for each and every disease, but the inner well-being each one of us is not able to attain in our life. Today, we are having everything, we have multiplied our possessions, but the life today is governed by our value system, and each one of us has to some extent compromise on our values. We talk too much, we love too little, and we lie too often, and that is what is the paradox of our life. We think that we are spiritual, yes, we are turning more and more religious, but the spirituality within us is actually dying out. Because today we remember God out of fear or out of need, but not because of love. Just see, this video summarizes what is the situation of the present day human being. You see that the developments in science have taken place, the human being, human race has advanced so much, newer and newer machines have been formed, but then ultimately there are so many compromises that are taking place. We often say that this world is really getting warm. Yes, this world is getting warm. It's not only warmth of the world, but it's warming of our attitudes, warming of our principles of life too. Each day we are seeing that the natural calamities are taking a toll on human being, on human race. We are scientifically advanced, but we are lacking much more spiritually. Our human values, the value of human beings, we have lost today. We have everything today, but the peace, the love, the faith, the unity in our life, that is dying out. And this is not, my dear friends, we had compromised our life for. Why this all is happening today is because we all are living in a state of body consciousness. We are actually human beings, but the being in that human beings is gone, and our life is totally governed by our body consciousness. So I give you just half a second to just wonder that what is it that governs our life? Where is it that we all have gone wrong? It is said by somebody that you must be the change that you wish to see in this world. Jo sansar ke andar aap parivartan dekhna chahte hain, us parivartan ko sabse pehle mujhe apne andar lana hoga. I have to be the genesis, the source of that change. If we want our environment to be clean, harmonious and balanced, then I need a society which should be organized, just and peaceful. To have an organized society, I need healthy relations, relations which are harmonious, truthful and loving. For healthy relations, I need a healthy body and a healthy mind, mind, a mind which is clear, creative and alert. But the genesis of a healthy mind is by the genesis of a healthy self, a self which is peaceful, strong and happy. So if I want to change this world, the first thing is, the main thing is, that I have to kindle the fire, the candle of change within my own self. But what is it that I have to change? We have to understand that the basic premises in our basic education system is at flaw. What is the flaw in our education system? I would summarize in next few slides that we enter a medical school with lot of enthusiasm and we enter our first professional where we study anatomy of human body and physiology and biochemistry of human body. Now you mind what I am speaking is anatomy of human body and biochemistry and physiology of human body. But this study has given us a tubular vision. Such a vision in which we are habitual of treating this body, we are habitual of diagnosing the illness of the body, we are habitual of decorating the body, we are habitual of treating only the body, and when the body dies, we think that the whole thing has died and we think that we are just a body. This is the basic premises where we are wrong. Because we often say that we are human beings. Human beings is made of two words. Human is the humus and being is the psyche or the soul or the atma or the conscious entity within us. So what is the evidence of the anatomy of being that we talk about? You have been hearing about that yes, we are a soul, we are atma, but we are all scientists. We need scientific evidence. So where does science lead us? Anatomy of being is being governed by three sets, that is mind, intellect and resolves. That means the mind that is thinking, intellect or buddhi that is taking the decisions, and resolves that is our habit or our sanskars. And the collective manifestations of all these three is known as consciousness or what we call as the soul or the spirit or the psyche or the being. So scientific evidence of being come from various five sources. I have updated this particular slide by the evidence of logic, by electrode studies or the functional MRI studies, by the reincarnation stories, by the near end of life or near death experiences and out of the body experiences. There are so many anatomy people also sitting here. I would like to continue. Yeah, I can. So the first evidence that comes for the evidence for the anatomy of being is by the logic. Now first thing that we see that in the dissection house, we dissect the human body. I always used to ask my anatomy professor, said, I am dissecting this body. This body, dead body has a brain, but he is not thinking. This dead body has a hand, but his hands are not moving. This dead body has a heart. His heart seems to be functionally fine. His pathological survey shows that everything is fine, but this heart is not beating. He is not speaking. His hands are not moving. Then what is it that leaves this body? And if we have a comparison of a dead body with a standing car, we can actually derive to a particular logic. You know, the beauty of a car comes with a driver. Jab gaadi ke andar driver baithta hai, that means when the driver sits in the car and switches on the car, the whole functionality of car actually starts functioning. The horn starts blowing, the handle starts moving, the gears start functioning and the car starts driving. Similarly, in this dead body, when the soul enters or the driver enters, then the body starts functioning. And this can easily be derived by the common words or the sentences that each one of us are using every day. We say, I have seen it with my eyes. You see, you re-inspect this sentence, I have seen it with my eyes. I eyes have seen it, we never say. I have come here walking on my own legs. I have done it with my hands. Then who is speaking that these hands are mine, but I am not the hands. These legs are mine, I am using these legs, but I am not the legs. These eyes are mine, but I am not these eyes. I is a scientific or a spiritual entity that is residing in our body, that is taking care of this body or that is making this body work. But this is just biologic. This does not lead us to a definitive conclusion that yes, there is a soul that resides in our body. Then we come to stories of reincarnation, incidents of birth and rebirth. Now just, you know, focus on it. There was a mother who was leaning over the changing table to change her son's diaper. Her young toddler unexpectedly said, when I was of your age, I used to change your diapers. The mother was immediately taken aback. The boy was Sam Taylor of Vermont, USA, who was born 18 months following his grandfather's death. The tailor was able to pick up his grandfather from a class picture of approximately 20 people. He was able to recognize all the things of his grandfather, and mother and science could not explain how all this was happening. There are numerous such thousands and thousands of cases which have been described all over the world. And Dr. James B. Tucker, 2005, in his book Life Before Life, in which he was investigating the children's memory of previous lives, beautifully and succinctly describes such experiences. Now, such life before life that clearly confirms that it's our eternal entity, the soul never dies, it's our body that dies, but soul can again take a rebirth and come and perform new activities in a newer body. Next we come to out of the body experiences and near end of life experiences. Now there are numerous and numerous evidence. I would like to narrate one wonderful experience in front of you. An unusual surgical procedure was being performed by Dr. Michael Sebum. He was Dr. Michael Sebum in Michigan, USA. He was performing a procedure for safe excision and repair of a large basilar artery aneurysm which met all accepted criteria for brain death. Such surgery is practically very disastrous and carries a high chance of mortality. It involved induction of hypothermic cardiac arrest. That means the body temperature was lowered to 60 degrees Fahrenheit and the patient's heartbeat and breathing ceased. Her brain waves practically flattened. Blood was completely drained from her head. Her EEG was totally flat. That means no cerebral activity. After the surgery, when the lady regained consciousness, the patient reported that under these brain death conditions, she had a near-death experience. She was able to observe and hear details of objects and happenings in the operating room with accuracy. She was able to narrate each of the experiences with accuracy. She also experienced classical components of near-death experience, including tunnel vortex, a bright light, different figures in the light like many deceased family members, including a distant cousin whose death she has been unaware of. Now this was surprising for doctors. This was something which they could not explain or science could not explain. And numerous such evidences, there are more than 600 near end of life and out of the body experiences that have been piled up, and a scientific research with evidence shows that people do have near death experiences even when they are brain dead. This was presented recently in American Psychological Association. Experimental evidence also suggests that near-death experiences are real. They have been reproduced also. People born blind can also have near-death experiences. They can be considered to be an objective experience. They are not subjective experience. Dr. Carl Becker has shown in his book, Paranormal Experience and Survival of Death, he clearly describes that they are actually objective. Near-death experiences have been validated in scientific studies. They produce visions of future which have later proven to be true also, and they cannot be explained merely by brain chemistry. So out of the body experiences and near end of life experiences, they actually suggest that the eternal entity or the conscious entity within our brain is the driving force. The direct experiments by the functional imaging and electrode elimination studies in San Diego University, California, they have localized the focus of soul to be in front of the hypothalamo-hypophyseal fossa, which they often call it as God spot. So more and more evidence is pouring in, and soul sits in the center of the brain near the pineal body, just as the pilot sits in the front of the plane driving the aeroplane. So what does this all evidence tell? This all evidence tells us that consciousness is an entity that is separate from the body. It has the power to function outside the body, but it needs body to express itself. Last thing is, it's our body that functions the limit of the soul. So more and more scientific evidence is pouring in that clearly and proves that soul, the psyche, the conscious entity does exist, is the driving force of our body. So we have a reason to believe by logic, by experimental studies, by retrospective evidence that the soul is the entity that drives our body. Once we know that soul is driving our body, we study the physiology and biochemistry of body. What is the physiology and what is the biochemistry of soul? Since soul is functionally comprising of three entities, that is mind, intellect and resolves, so the physiology and biochemistry of soul revolves around the charisma of thoughts, words and actions. Today, most of the problem that is arising is because aaj hum kuch सोच कुछ और रहे हैं, आज हम बोल कुछ और रहे हैं, आज हम कर कुछ और रहे हैं. देयर इज टोटल डिससिंक्रोनी एंड डिसहार्मनी बिटवीन व्हाट वी आर थिंकिंग, व्हाट वी आर स्पीकिंग एंड व्हाट वी आर डूइंग. एंड दैट इज व्हाई वी से माय गुडनेस आई एम सॉरी, आई डिडंट मीन टू हर्ट यू, आई होप यू प्लीज फॉरगिव मी. इफ यू डिडंट मीन टू हर्ट देन व्हाई डिड यू से सो, एंड इफ यू आर सेइंग सो डेफिनेटली यू मस्ट हैव थॉट अबाउट दैट ऑल्सो. सो द सोल फिजियोलॉजी सेज दैट इफ we our thinking is positive, then automatically our speaking, our words will automatically be positive. If our thinking and if our words are in harmony with God, with our own self and with positivity, then our actions will automatically be positive. So physiology and biochemistry of soul is all about harmonizing with our inner self practically. We today have lost harmony with our own selves. So much so that we often blame our own selves for whatever is happening and often put a blame on others, like yesterday we were hearing. God says that you are responsible for whatever is happening around you. No one else is responsible. You create your own world, you destroy your own world. You are responsible for happiness. And let me ask you one thing. Happiness is your property or somebody else's property? Please. Ours or somebody else's? Ours. Peace is your property or somebody else's? Ours property. And who is having the remote control today? That's a problem. Others are having remote control today. Oh, you know, he did this to me, so I am feeling bad. My mood is very bad. I am upset. Oh my God, he did this to you. Did you tell this thing to the other person? No. Tell this thing, he has done this thing to that person also. And this whole physiology and biochemistry ultimately ends up in a disaster, and we become so much depressed and disturbed, and our whole mind and psyche gets bothered. God says that you are a master person. You are my most beautiful creation. You have right on my peace. You have right on my happiness. Then why are you giving this remote control to the other person? Don't give it. That is what physiology and biochemistry of soul is all about. Because just like there are quality attributes of the body, that he's a beautiful man, he's a young man, he's a smart man, he's XYZ. Similarly, for the soul we say that this soul is a peaceful soul. He's a blissful soul. This soul is a loving soul. He's a happy person. Power, knowledge and purity. आप लोगों ने वैसे भी सुना होगा कि कभी भी पाप शरीर या पुण्य शरीर नहीं कहा जाता. हमेशा पाप आत्मा और पुण्य आत्मा ही कहा जाता है. सो दीज एट्रीब्यूट्स, द एट्रीब्यूट्स विच वी ड्रीम ऑफ इन आवर लाइफ आर एक्चुअली एट्रीब्यूट्स नॉट ऑफ द बॉडी, बट दीज आर एट्रीब्यूट ऑफ अवर साइकी, ऑफ अवर कॉन्शियस एंटिटी, ऑफ अवर सोल. सो इफ वी वॉन्ट टू लिव अ लाइफ विच इज अ ब्यूटिफुल लाइफ, इट्स अ लाइफ फुल ऑफ बॉडी कॉन्शियसनेस और सोल कॉन्शियसनेस. सोल कॉन्शियसनेस, दिस इज लॉजिक. Then why is it that today our ego is governing our life? Why is it that today our anger is governing our life? I keep on introducing myself as, hi, I am this, I am a cardiologist. Hi, I am a surgeon. Hi, I am a lawyer. Hi, I am a businessman. Just tell me one thing. Would it look good that if I go home today, I am a cardiologist by profession. I go home today and I say, hello dad, I am a cardiologist. It doesn't sound good, isn't it? So I'm a cardiologist for a patient. Does it look today that good? You know, if a businessman says to his children, hi son, I'm a businessman, I'm doing business of this. It is not logic. Because today we have learned to identify ourselves by what we are doing. Our true identity is not by what we are doing, but what we actually are. That is why we are called human beings and not human doings. But today what has happened is, this human beings has transformed into human doings. We are just doing throughout the day like a machine, and just doing, we get so much tired to get up again and get into that vicious cycle again and run through that, you know, terrific experience again and again. Terrible experience. So God says, the life which is beautiful is a life in which you learn the art of living life in a soul conscious way, a way in which your peace, in which love, in which purity governs every action. आप जो बात बोलेंगे वो शांति से बोलेंगे, जो बात बोलेंगे प्यार से बोलेंगे, और आपके हर चेहरे पे, आपके चलन पर पवित्रता, purity की झलक, it would be clearly reflecting. That is what you see here. What is the beautiful thing that touches you in this atmosphere? Isn't it the first thing is, oh, it's such a beautiful, peaceful atmosphere. Yes or no? Yes. Now peace cannot come by just silence. peace is not just the absence of voice. Peace is a state of mind. The wonderful meditation that is being carried out spreads wonderful meditation, spreads vibrations here, and we experience peace in our life. So God says that if you are not a body, you are a soul, then you must learn to live your art of life in a soul conscious way. Because irrespective of who we are, what we are doing, whatever social status is, whether we are from the upper class or middle class or lower class, whether we are Indians, whether we are foreigners, we are X, Y, Z, the conscious entity, the soul, that shining star is present in each one of us. That is driving us. That is motivating us. But we don't listen to the voice of our inner consciousness. Today, our ego, our anger is governing our actions. We move on from our first professional to the second professional, in which we study the pathology and microbiology of human body. Of human body, not of human soul. So this is where we go wrong. Because just by studying the pathology and microbiology of human body, we are very comfortable in treating the most severe forms of the disease. We are very easily treating even or performing even most difficult of the operations. But I would take and ask you one, each one of you, one thing here. That you must be having, each one of you must be having such experience by a patient saying these words to you. Oh, doctor, just by talking to you, half of my pain is gone. Yes or no? Yes. Everyone, yes or no? Yes. Yes, each one of you. Now you just tell me one thing. When a patient comes to you, and you talk to the patient very politely and nicely, you have not given any medicine. I don't give sorbitrate to my patient when I am talking to my patient. And he says, half of my pain is gone. Your words are acting or taking away the mental agony of the patient. They are taking away the pain that the soul of the patient is perceiving. And that is where the pathology and microbiology of soul lies. Because the genesis of disease is not in the body, because disease is made of two words, dis plus ease. It's the easiness that goes away mentally first and physically second, we become diseased. So the perception of pain, the perception of illness starts from the brain of the person, from the psyche of the person. I'll give you a second example. There are days in our life, there are days in each one of us in our life when we are mentally very, very, very disturbed. Very disturbed. There is nothing wrong with our body. On that day, do we like to work or not? Yes or no? No. What do we say? Oh, I'm feeling feverish today. Just bring a thermometer. Just please check my BP. Aaj bukhar sa lag raha hai. Please give me a tablet, give me a Combiflam, give me a paracetamol, give me an Alprex, and I feel relaxed. On the contrary, just remember a day when you are definitely physically ill. But certain good news or certain great things happen in your life. Do you forget the pain of your body? Yes or no? So what does it prove? It's matter over mind or mind over matter? Mind over matter. Because the controlling power, the whole control of our body is within our soul, our mind. And that is why today, whether it's negative situation, it's disease, it affects our psyche, our being first. It brings emotional and behavioral changes which causes anxiety, depression, fatigue, disinterest, confusion. And such negative situations then affect our body. And these are proven causative role. They cause diseases like asthma, ulcers, diarrhea, osteoarthritis, allergies, cardiovascular diseases like heart attacks, neurological disorders like early degeneration and early aging. Today, stress is a third causative risk factor for heart attacks after diabetes and smoking. Attributable risk in inter-heart study. So, today the situations are getting out of control. Why? Because we are losing total control over our own self. Why we are losing control? Because we are unaware of the entity that controls our life. That is the soul. Then we come to the third step, that is the laws of life. Just as science is governed by a beautiful law, to each action there is an equal and opposite reaction. Similarly, even spirituality is governed by a law which is called as a spiritual law of life or the law of karma. That law is also same as science. To each action there is an equal and opposite reaction. That means life is like a boomerang. goodness has a natural way of coming back. Please note it down, not in your mind, but in your heart. It has a natural way of coming back. यदि आप आम का बीज बोएंगे तो उसके अंदर से तरबूज नहीं निकल सकता. इफ यू सो अ सीड ऑफ मैंगो यू कान रीप अ वॉटरमेलन आउट ऑफ इट. इफ यू आर डूइंग गुड टू अदर्स दैट गुडनेस हैज टू कम बैक टू यू इन द सेम अमाउंट मे बी सम टाइम लेटर बट इट हैज टू कम बैक टू यू समडे इन योर लाइफ. दैट इज वॉट इज अ ब्यूटिफुल प्रॉपर्टी और द ब्यूटिफुल लॉ ऑफ लाइफ. देन वी कम टू द थर्ड सब्जेक्ट ऑफ सेकेंड प्रोफेशन विच इज कॉल्ड फार्माकोलॉजी ऑफ ह्यूमन बॉडी. Today, each one of us is fighting a major war. Today, science has given us so much tablets, but irrespective of that, these tablets are able to control the disease of the body, but science has failed miserably in designing a tablet that transforms our human emotions. Science has failed miserably in giving us a tablet that increases the value of our life, that increases the value of human life. And that is what is the paradox today. Today, each one of us is in desperate search of God. Our soul is diseased. Even we might be having 1,000,000 rupees, but each one of us is in desperate search of peace, love and happiness. And I would like to ask one thing from each one of you, that has any one of you been able to buy 0.5 kg of love for 1,000 rupees in the market? Has any one of you been able to buy 2 kgs of peace by 20,000 rupees in the market? Or for that matter, can you buy any of these things from market? No, you cannot buy. Something that we want in our life is something that money cannot buy for you. Something that is our innate property. Something that other people cannot give you. Something that only Supreme Godfather can give us. And that is why if money was able to buy peace for us, then the person who is the richest person in this world would be the most happiest person in this world. I remember a wonderful story of a woodcutter. He finished his work and he was having a comfortable sleep beneath the tree in afternoon. A person came to him, "Oh, what are you doing?" He said, "I am sleeping comfortably. I am done with my work." He said, No. "This is not the time to sleep. You must work more." He said, "What will I do if I work more?" He said, "You are working alone. You are working and roaming about day to day from here to here. Once you work more, you will have more money." He said, "What will I do?" He said, "Then you can have a shop. And instead of you going to the people will come to you." He said, "Then what will happen?" He said, "You will earn more money. You can keep a person under you who will work with you. And you two people can work more and earn more money." He said, "What will I do with that money?" He said, "You will have a bigger house and you will earn more money." He said, "What will I do with that more money and big house?" He said, "In a bigger house, you will have big rooms and you can have a wonderful sleep there." He said, "That is what I was having now. If I want to work so much for having such a sleep, then there is no purpose." So my purpose of saying is that yes, money and these things, materialism is important. But if that becomes the driving force of our life, then that actually becomes a way to steal our peace from our life. So what is the pharmacology of soul? Where will the soul derive power from? Soul cannot derive power from the bodies. Soul cannot get gyan from the physical gurus. We need the introduction of Supreme Self, Supreme Soul to give us or treat our diseased soul. So before that, I would like to bring forth an interesting conversation that many of you must have heard, because many people in science do not believe in God. And this is where science and spirituality sometimes get separate, but this talk will make you believe that how these science and spirituality can work in harmony with each other. One of the atheist professor who never used to believe in God, he was talking to his students that what is the problem that science is having with God. He said, "Son, do you believe in God?" The student said, "Yes, sir, I do believe in God. Is God good?" Student said, "Yes, sir. God is superb. God is very good." Professor said, "Science says you have 5 senses to identify and observe the world around you. Tell me, son, have you ever seen God?" Student said, "No, sir, I haven't seen God." Professor said, "Have you ever felt God, tasted God or smelled God? Or for that matter, did you have any sensory perception of God?" Student said, "No, sir, I didn't have any one of them." So professor was smiling and he said, "You still believe in him?" Student said, "Yes, sir, I still believe in him." Professor said, "Sorry, son, according to the empirical, testable, demonstrable protocol, science says your God does not exist. What do you say about that, son?" Student said, "No, sir, I don't have to say anything. I only have my faith." And professor said, Faith is the problem with science. Science is not governed by faith. Student was smiling and he said, anyone in the class who has seen professor's brain? Everyone in the class was laughing. Student said, is there anyone in the class who had heard professor's brain, who has felt professor's brain, who has touched or smelled professor's brain? No one appears to have done so. So sir, according to the established rules of empirical stable demonstrable protocol, science says you don't have any brain, sir. So with due respect, how do we trust your lecture, sir? The professor was smiling. Professor said, I guess, son, you have to take them on faith. So student said, that is the link between God and man. The soul and supreme soul, the link that communicates, that make them meet each other, is the faith. Where science is governed by reason, spirituality is governed by faith. And these reason and faith are not working in opposite direction with each other, but they are complementing each other. They are working in harmony with each other. And that is what we are able to prove. Even today, when I was making a research, even scientists are leading to that, yes, there is a conscious and supraconscious entity that does exist. One of the recent studies that was conducted in human beings by Professor Pam Reynolds, he said that right temporal lobe activity that verifies that the reality of brain's connection is there to some higher power. He was not able to explain certain mechanisms that were happening or governing the human body. He presented these studies in American Psychology Association 2005 and is still continuing more research. The mind and the brain can be induced to have a paranormal experiences which generally brain is not tuned itself to generate. This was proven by Professor Melvin Morse. Even conscious research is able to support the reality of unseen power, and connection of brain to a superpower was again demonstrated by his theory of God spot by Professor Melvin Morse. So more and more evidence also is pouring in that yes, there is a supraconscious or supreme consciousness that does exist. But who is that consciousness? What is this consciousness? Today each one of us is making a desperate search. आज हम सब लोग भाग रहे हैं भगवान की खोज में. आज हम देखते हैं कि हर व्यक्ति चाहे किसी भी धर्म का हो, किसी भी जाति का हो, आज भगवान को डेस्परेटली हम लोग ढूंढते हैं. कोई व्यक्ति मंदिर में जाता है, कोई मस्जिद में जाता है, कोई चर्च में जाता है, कोई गुरुद्वारे जाता है, कोई तत्वों की पूजा करता है, और हर कार्य करने से पहले भी हम भगवान को याद करते हैं. हम देखते हैं कि हम भगवान को आज जरूरत के आधार पर याद करते हैं. लेकिन भगवान यही कहता है कि तुम मेरे गुलाम हो या बच्चे हो, बताइए. बच्चे भगवान से भीख मांगेंगे या अधिकार मांगेंगे, आप बताइए मुझे, जोर से बोलिए. यू हैव राइट ऑन गॉड्स प्रॉपर्टी, येस और नो? यस. बट व्हाट डू वी डू? हम भगवान के आगे कहते हैं कि हम तो तेरे गुलाम, तेरे बेकारी, तेरे आगे दर पर आके हम पड़े हैं, मुझे कुछ दे दे. हम यही कहते हैं कि भगवान मुझे खुशी दे, मुझे प्यार दे, मुझे शांति दे. और जब हमें ज्यादा जरूरत नहीं होती है इन चीजों की, तब हम कहते हैं भगवान मेरा ये काम करा दे तो मैं तुझे ये चढ़ा दूंगा, मुझे ये कर दे तो मैं तेरे लिए ये कर दूंगा. हम लोग भगवान से भी आज हम लोग क्या करते हैं, हम लोग बिजनेस करते हैं. ईच वन ऑफ अस हैज प्रैक्टिकली बिकम और ट्रांसफॉर्म्ड इन टू अ बिजनेसमैन. आप देखिए, मैं कई बार अपने हॉस्पिटल जा रहा होता हूं तो रास्ते पर हनुमान जी का एक मंदिर पड़ता है, तो वहां पर सवेरे जब मैं जाता हूं तो करीब 20-30 गाड़ियों की लाइन लगी होती है, स्कूटर वालों की लाइन लगी होती है, और वो लोग गाड़ी रोककर और हेलमेट उतारकर हेलमेट पर बैठे बैठे ही चलती गाड़ी में भगवान के मंदिर के आगे हाथ जोड़ रहे होते हैं कि भाई टाइम नहीं है भगवान आज भी, बस तू इसी में मान जाना, जब ज्यादा जरूरत होगी तब मैं तेरे को थोड़ा ज्यादा याद कर लूंगा, या मैं तेरे पास पर्सनली मंदिर में तेरे पास आ जाऊंगा. तो जरूरत के आधार पर और नीड के आधार पर हम लोग भगवान को याद करते हैं. व्हाट वी से टुडे, वी आर डूइंग business with God. And I would like to ask you one thing here, that if we are soul, not this body, then our father will be body or soul, supreme soul. आप देखिए, हर धर्म, हर शास्त्र, in each of the scriptures, whether it is Bible, whether it is Quran, whether it is Gita, X, Y, Z, God is always called as supreme soul or param atma. We never say that he is supreme body or he is param sharir. If he is supreme soul, he is Paramatma, then we are his children, we'll be body or we'll be soul? Naturally, logic. And we are running far from our soul and we keep on thinking ourselves as the body. You talk about any shastra, any dharma, whether it is Guru Nanak ji, he said, Eko Omkar Satnam Vaheguru, I am messenger of God, but God is one, God is point of light. You talk about Christ, Jesus Christ, he said, I am messenger of God, God is one, God is point of light. You talk about Sai Baba today, Sai Baba said, Sabka Malik Ek, Sabka Ek Hi Malik Hai, Main Bhagwan Ka Messenger Hoon. Even Ram ne bhi jaake Rameshwaram mein Shiv ki puja ki. You talk about Muslims, they go to Sangi Aswad for Hajj, where there is a pathar which is called as Noor, jisko again point of light ke roop mein dikhaya gaya hai. आप जाएं चाइना के अंदर, जापान के अंदर, जहां चिनकोंसे की पत्थर के रूप में भगवान को पूजा जाता है. So the symbolic of God today, the most easiest form of God today, which is acceptable to all, which is easily recognizable for all, is a point of light. If we want peace, He is ocean of peace. If we want love in our life, He is ocean of love. If we want satisfaction in our life, He is ocean of satisfaction. If we want bliss in our life, He is ocean of bliss. If we want health in our life, He is the one who has the power to give it to us. Then whom are we communicating with? We go to dharma gurus, we go to satsang. I always say that if we go to satsang, just remember that three things should be truth there. तीन बातें किसी भी सत्संग में हमेशा सत्य होनी चाहिए. जो ज्ञान सुनाने वाला हो वो भी सत्य होना चाहिए. That means the one who is narrating the knowledge to you, he should be truth. Second, to whom he is narrating the knowledge should also be truth. And what knowledge he is narrating should also be truth. Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Supreme Soul, Param Atma, आत्मा को ज्ञान सुनाती है आत्मा के बारे में. कि तू कौन था, क्या है और तुझे मेरे से ज्ञान लेकर क्या आगे बनना है. And that beautiful communion of soul with supreme soul is known as Raj Yoga Meditation. You are seeing that the lights are switched off here. The moment electricity is switched on, the bulb starts glowing and we have light. Similarly, our soul which is diseased today, which has lost all its energy, Raj Yoga Meditation is a beautiful process of communion of soul with Supreme Soul, and by that process, which is known as meditation, we start glowing, we start dancing in God's love. Meditation is not a physical meditation, like many of you were asking me in the morning also, that yoga mudra, these are important in our life, these are ways to keep ourselves healthy, but Raj Yoga Meditation is a wonderful loving and intellectual communion, that of soul with Supreme Soul. It's a loving communion and it's an intellectual communion. Why do I say so? Because again, the basis of meditation is not a need-based meditation. I told you, let us not do business with God. That you do this to me, I'll do this for you. Let us not have a just relationship-based meditation with God. Let us not just have introduction-based meditation with God. The real love or the real meditation is in which we love our Father. If we love 100%, He is bound to show Himself to us. He is bound to give all His energy to us in 100% quantity. But our love should be 100%. But what happens is, today we say, no. Abhi to grihast ashram mein, ye hum log jab vanprastha avastha rahega, then we will remember God. We should keep ourselves separate from God. Abhi hum logon ko apne is jeevan ka anand lena chahiye. I still remember a group of people who went to a saint and asked him a very wonderful and intellectual question, to which he gave a supra intellectual answer. They asked him, my dear saint, please tell us, when should we remember God in our life? He smiled at them and said, you remember God only one day before your death. They all said, but we don't know when we are going to die. He said, then remember God today, because tomorrow you don't know whether you will be living or not. So that is what is the problem today. Today we are buying time. We are thinking, let us do it more, let us earn more. Bhagwan ko to yaad kar lenge. Taken for granted attitude. Yes, He is there. When I need it, oh please God, do it for me. What have you done? You have done this thing wrong to me. I'll do this thing. We'll go here. We'll go to this temple, that temple. He said, this is not the way. If you remember me this way, since you are my wonderful creation, I'll help you. But you are not going to get what you actually deserve from me. Why? Because this was a remembrance which was based on need. God says, remember me as I am and as you are. You are a point of light, a shining star, and I am a supra point of light, a super shining star. You remember me as a supreme soul, and I'll shower all my love to you. I'll fill your life with positive thinking and a positive lifestyle. So this meditation is a process of communion of soul with supreme soul. This beautiful meditation gives us a way to live our life happily. This gives us a way to rejuvenate our life. And when we enter our final or a clinical professional in which we deal our patients, this meditation helps us in breaking this jinx, in coming out of our comfort zones that we have formed in our life. Each one of us are living in a comfort zone. No, this is the way I want to see the things. Jaise aap log concerned rahe the na, ki if I want to see the person like this person, I see him the person as I want to see him. I don't see the situations as the situations are. So such a wonderful approach helps us in breaking or coming out of our comfort zones and rejuvenating our life. So my dear friends, our main aim here is to give you evidence or make you practice objective spirituality. Dekhiye, mala ferat jog bhaya, bhaya na man ka fer, karka man ka daride, man ka fer. Bhagwan yehi kehta hai ki you have been, you know, counting these pearls of the mala regularly throughout your life. But by just counting these pearls, by just reciting these prayers, you don't become spiritual. You have to kindle the candle of transformation within your own self. This transformation has to be brought within your own self now. Until and unless I transform my thinking process, I transform my major belief system. We have to transform our belief system. You know, we are so much happy. Oh my God, this was such a wonderful thing. We heard yesterday you were hearing good lectures. Today also we will hear good lectures. You get impressed. But God says, don't get impressed. Get impressed only by me. Because the basic premises of existence of life is not the body, but the basic premises is that you are a soul. You are. If you remember, you transform your thinking, you transform your mind from negative to positive, your whole belief system changes, and then you don't need kicks, you don't need these kriyas, your whole life becomes a joy. Each problem that you face becomes a stepping stone to success. So rejuvenating our life is actually rejuvenating our thinking, our speech, our actions. Our thinking, our speech, our actions is actually rejuvenation of our soul. Because rejuvenating our thinking is rejuvenating our mind. Rejuvenating our speech is only by rejuvenating our intellect. And once we rejuvenate our actions, we will get healthy or good habits, or what we call spiritually as good sanskar. Jisko hum log kehte hain, oh, he has wonderful sanskar. Bahut sanskari bachcha hai. He is very sanskari. So the basic purpose is that we must combine the healing power of medicines with the Midas touch of God. And this can happen only if we transform our own self. If we transform our thinking to such an extent that each our step is, our thought is influenced by God. I would take a second and ask you one thing. That did you ever think that what is the purpose Brahma Kumaris has organized such a wonderful grand conference for you? Is it just to show you or impress you or give you something, you know, give you a nice atmosphere or to relax? No, that is not the purpose. The basic purpose of this particular conference is to make you understand that where is it we are going wrong. Hamari apni understanding, hamari apni manyata vichardhara, jo ki itni na keval pradushit ho chuki hai, lekin ek galat mark par chal rahi hai, us vichardhara ko sahi mark par lakar, usko aage agrasar karna, yahi hamara dhyay hai. Achhi baat hai, to aap sabhi log sunte hain. और मैं समझता हूं आप लोग इतने विद्वान हैं कि आप लोगों को भी यहां पर आकर कहा जाए तो आप भी सब लोगों को अच्छी बातें सुना सकते हैं. लेकिन ऐसी बातें जो भगवान स्वयं आकर यहां पर सुनाता है, वो ज्ञान स्वयं आकर देता है, क्योंकि आत्मा का ज्ञान परमात्मा ही दे सकता है, कोई शरीर का गुरु नहीं दे सकता. सुप्रीम सोल ही हैज टू कम बैक एंड डिसेंड ऑन दिस अर्थ टू गिव द नॉलेज ऑफ सोल. ह्यूमंस डोंट हैव द पावर टू गिव सच अ डिवाइन नॉलेज. So the purpose of rejuvenating life is about having the feeling that God is serving His children through you. He can serve us only through us if we are, our mind is, our soul is in perfect harmony with God. We are listening to Him throughout the day. We are behaving just like He wants us to do. We are doing what He wants us to do. Bhagwan yahi kehta hai, if you do or what I want you to do, I'll take care of whatever problems that you face in your life. This is what the purpose of life is. My dear friends, as of now, not only on my personal behalf, but on the behalf of the humanity, on behalf of Prema Kumaris, I do propose that let us not keep on waiting for a special occasion. How many of us will keep on attending these conferences and saying, oh, what a wonderful lecture, this guy was amazing, he impressed us thoroughly, he did a wonderful job. No, no, no. I always say that jiski rachna itni sundar, wo kitna sundar hoga. Aapne socha kabhi? Jis Bhagwan ki, jis Paramatma ki rachna, uska sansar itna sundar hai, wo khud kitna sundar hoga. The purpose of Brahma Kumaris, our mission is to introduce you to the real spiritual self. I propose that let us not keep on waiting for a special occasion, but live our life with the love of God that makes it special. Because today, if we think that we are too busy to take out time to rejuvenate our lives, my very, very dear friends, remember, one of these days, we won't be here to do it. This is the bitter truth of life. The time is continuously ticking. Time is moving. And if we keep on buying time, a wise person is who brings or inculcates the change in his life before time. Otherwise, time or samay hum logon ko majboor kar dega apne andar parivartan ko lane ke liye. To main aap sab logon se yahi anurodh karunga ki hame apni zindagi ke is marg par aage agrasar hote jana hai. Let us understand that we have to kindle the candle of change now. In the end, I would like to recite a wonderful email from God, which many of you would have heard, but none of us imply in our lives. God tells us that, my dear child, you are my most wonderful and beautiful creation. There is no beautiful or wonderful creation better than you that I have created. You get up in the morning, I want to energize and give everything that I have to you so that you don't face any problem throughout the day. But when you get up, you don't have time for me in the morning. You recite to me, you remember me just on the basis of need. You remember me only for 1 minute, only for 2 minutes, and then you rush back to your work. But my love for you is never ending. Mera pyar tere liye kam nahi hota, kyunki tu meri sabse sundar rachna hai. You go back to your work and you are working heavily, you are fighting with the problems, you are fighting with the situations, and I'm smiling and seeing you from above that even if you look at me for 1 minute, I'll take away all your problems, I'll energize you, I'll give you all the solutions. But you don't have time for me. You keep on getting busy with your work, and when in afternoon, when lunchtime occurs, you get busy with your friends, you are gossiping with them, you don't have time to remember me before lunch, during lunch, or even after lunch. But my love for you is never ending. In the evening when you come back, I think now you will spare 2 minutes out of wonderful 24 hours that I have given you for me, but you don't have time for me even when you come back. You get busy with your families, you get busy with your kids, you open the television, you pick up the mobile phone, you see a picture, but you don't have even 2 minutes. You can waste your time 3 hours in front of a movie, but you cannot give me 3 minutes to get yourself rejuvenated. This is the paradox. But love for you is never ending. Because you are my most wonderful creation. I see so much in you. I have given you such energy, but you don't utilize it. I can take away all your problems, but you don't look with your eyes of your mind even for a second. In the night, I think, shayad, ab tum mujhe yaad kar loge, you will remember me for a minute, but even in the night, you don't have time for me for a minute. You are again reading your novel, you are watching television, and while surfing television, you go off to the sleep, you doze off to the sleep, and I keep on longing for you, I keep on waiting for you throughout the day, because you are my most wonderful creation. I love you so much, but you don't have time for me. So, are we one of them who don't have time for God? Ask us, ask your inner self. Because until and unless we ask our own self that yes, we have to inculcate these changes in our life, we will never be able to have or rejuvenate our lives for actual purpose. So in the end, before I end, I would like to ask you, would each one of you like to sit in 2 minutes, not more than 2 minutes, of powerful meditation, which will be a love-based meditation? Yes or no?
Yes.
Sure? Second promise I would like to take from you, that each one of you, when you are going from here, haath uthaiyega aur dil se boliyega, do you understand that yes, we are a soul? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, we understand. Do we also understand that Supreme Soul or God is our Father?
Yes.
Then what is stopping you to communicate with Him? Why is it that we find it so much difficult to communicate with God? People say, I am trying to imagine that God will be like this. People say, I am visualizing God will be like this. God says, don't imagine, don't visualize. Just sit in love with me. Talk to me. Whatever problem you are having, in these 2 minutes, just make a promise with God. My dear, my loving Father, today I am surrendering my life to you. And from now on, when we go back, every day in morning, before we get up, and before we say hello to Surya, we will say hello to God. Yes or no? Sure? Each one of us, when we get up in the morning, our first duty is to say good morning. Like Dr. Girish Bhai was telling, to father and mother, yes, but before that, to Supreme Father, we have to say good morning. That each one of you do in the early morning at the Amrit Vela, 4 o'clock in the morning. And before night sleeping, we must give an account of whatever we have done throughout the day to God. We will do it or not? Yes or no? See, it takes 4 minutes, 24 hours, and I am asking only for 4 minutes. I am not asking, God is asking. Aapko keval 4 minute, 2 minute morning mein, 2 minute evening mein dene hai. You talk to God, lovingly. Don't let any relation come in between. Koi aa raha hai, phone aa raha hai, don't let it come in between. Koi ye disturb kar raha hai, yes, I have an appointment with you, but this is my appointment with my God. This is my individual, personal time with God. Don't control your mind, let your mind think. Think about Him lovingly. Pyar se sochne dijiye. Generation of positive thoughts. This is what meditation is. This is what loving intellectual communion is. Loving and intellectual communion is. And last appeal that I would like to, last request on the behalf of Brahma Kumaris that I would like to make to each one of you is that when you go back, you have had 3 days of course here. Please, 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 please take out half an hour to 20 minutes a day to complete the course. Because before completing or having a practical meditation, we need to understand the knowledge, exact knowledge or exact theory. And that can only be complete once we give out time. Because again, that life is going to start, that circle is going to start, that I don't have time, I will start running from tomorrow. Nahi, mereko time nikalna hai. Because world is getting worse and worse day by day. Situations are getting worse and worse day by day. So we must, in the end, sit in 2 minutes of harmony in which we will harmonize our mind with Supreme Father, our loving Father. Don't fight. Oh, I am not able to see Him. Where are you? Please come. Please do. No. Just talk. Just talk out. Speak out your heart with God. So ready? Eyes closed or open? Open. Open. Absolutely relax. See, baat kar rahe hain. We are talking. We are not sleeping. It's not a nidra yoga. It's not a sharirik yoga. It's not a mudra yoga. It's a Raj Yoga meditation. Raj Yoga meditation, such a wonderful meditation that will transform whole of your belief system, your thinking, your perception about your own self and about God. So last 2 minutes, after which we give the end to this lecture. Thank you for a very patient hearing. I'll utter very, very few words. Each one of you, this is your individual. Those who are sleeping, for that matter, I don't find many though. Please wake up and talk to God. Because this is a unique opportunity that God is giving you. And this is your appointment with God, not my appointment. This is my appointment with my God. This is your appointment with Supreme Soul. So speak out your heart, speak out your problems to Him, and you will see your life will be transformed.
तुझे देख कर जग वाले पर देख कर जग वाले पर यकीन नहीं क्यों कर होगा, तुझे देख कर जग वाले पर यकीन नहीं क्यों कर होगा। जिसकी रचना इतनी सुंदर वो कितना सुंदर होगा, वो कितना सुंदर होगा। ओ तुझे देखने को मैं क्या हर दर्पण तरसा करता है, जूं तुलसी के बिरवा को हर आंगन तरसा करता है, हर आंगन तरसा करता है। अंग अंग तेरा रस की गंगा ओ हो ओ हो, अंग अंग तेरा रस की गंगा रूप कबो सागर होगा। जिसकी रचना इतनी सुंदर वो कितना सुंदर होगा, वो कितना सुंदर होगा। ओ,